Good evening and welcome to The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Nate Redman, glad to have you tuned in, and glad to welcome the host of the program, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Steve, hello.
Hi, Nate. Nate, this is the first for us, isn't it?
It is the first time we're together. I believe this is the first time I've ever met you, just a few minutes ago.
Well, good to meet you, and I'm sure we'll have a great time. I doubt we kill each other.
I don't think so. We both like donuts. We figured that out, so we're in
good
shape.
You weren't supposed to say that on anyway, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We would love to have you visit us sometime, by the way. On Sunday mornings, we have a morning Bible study at 10:30 for adults and children, and then at 9:30, and at 10:30, we have our regular morning worship. Sunday evening, we have youth group. And we also have some really in-depth Bible study that people want to come and it's a round table thing. We just have a great time doing that. And, of course, we have midweek services. Midweek, we have Bible study and prayer meeting at two different locations. So it's kind of we're kind of staying busy. One thing I would like to announce, if you are listening from anywhere around the Prospect area, we will be starting our school lunch program on the first week of June. We do school lunch for the summer, school-aged children lunch.
Very nice.
We do a lunch. My wife's actually the cook. She makes prepares those meals and puts them out every day at 11 o'clock. And it's for kids 0 to 18 and for adults over the age of, I'm going to say 55 or 60, I forget which. But anyway, it's for senior adults also. And it's completely free, and come and enjoy it. So did want to mention that. Wow, spring came in and it felt great. It was sunny and got warm. And I saw so many people this week with suntans or sunburns, more than no tans yet, but it burns. And then all of a sudden it got cold today. Last night it started getting chilly. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This stuff just will not leave. I got the lawnmower stuck this week in the yard in mud. Something I was looking at that I got a kick out of on Facebook, and it was a picture someone posted of, now you've got to be older to know what I'm talking about, because kids today would remember. Remember the desks that were attached to the seat in the front of it, and then they were a wooden top desk, and they usually had an inkwell hole up in the corner, and then there was a bench that you sat on with a back, and then the desk behind it was attached to the back of that, and it would just be in a series of desks. Anyway, those were in use in schools up until, believe it or not, probably a lot of even public schools had some of those through the 70s, because they just didn't get rid of things the way they do now. I would imagine as the older buildings started getting torn down, they started disappearing. But yours truly has to admit, I sat in those very desks myself. And anyway, someone posted a picture of some little boys sitting in a classroom, and they're sitting there writing on a piece of paper, writing on their desks, and the boys are sitting there in overalls with no shoes on. And the it says this, Dale Borderland posted this, it said, "Let's not forget these people didn't have no shoes, no air conditioner, no cell phones, and no money. Yet they were the greatest generation we had in this country." Something to think about.
That's true.
Isn't that the truth?
That's true.
Let me ask you a question. Do you, Nate, think that that hardship sometimes can produce endurance and strength? And
I do. Because in my life, going through a really hard time, sometimes coming out of that, I've gone through and had some of my greatest successes after just going through a real, you know, maybe a depressed time or something like that.
Right.
Where the Lord tries you, you know, tried by fire, you know.
I was just getting ready to say that. He brings us through that, and he refines us in that fire.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get strong and move forward in a better way if we're not tried and tested.
Right.
And a lot of times people look at testing and things we're going through and say, Lord, what did I do? You know, what am I doing wrong? Are you punishing me? And the truth is, he may just be getting ready to really use you.
Right.
And if things are easy, we never accomplish anything. We never learn. We never grow. I was having an interesting discussion yesterday with a person about job skills and job trades that works in that area. We're talking about they're really struggling today with a lot of the plants and the hiring processes of different places because young people, in many cases, now I'm not going to tar everyone with the same brush here, but I'm saying in many cases, they don't know how to work.
Right.
Because they've been, they haven't had to physically be made to do anything, and they just won't hold the job very long. There's jobs out there for people. But after a month, they get bored and they don't want to come back, or whatever the case may be. Boy, it's amazing how many people have contacted me lately about, hey, do you know anybody that can work for us? Matter of fact, I was talking to a young lady today, and she works in the office for her father, who owns a landscaping company down by Radnor. And she said, we're having a horrible time with hiring. Just a horrible time, and it's not something that requires great skill. You can be taught what you're doing, but you have to basically at least have the desire to work and want to learn, and you know, it's very difficult. Another friend of mine posted something which I recopied. He's a young guy. He and his wife, and he's farming. Just came back to the family farm after college and getting married and having kids, and he's been trying to do it on his own, and his dad's getting older, and his dad said, you know, I don't know how much longer I can help you. And he's been, you know, putting all these feelers out for someone that would want to come and even learn farm work with him. And he just can't, you know, it's just not there. And I think that what happens a lot of times is that nobody's being refined through the fire. And what I mean by that, see, what's that got to do with what you're talking about? But it does. I'll tell you, let me give you an example of that. When I was about, I'll say 11 years old, 11, 12 years old, my dad went to work one morning, and he told us to go down the lane behind the farm, and there were a bunch of fence posts, and he needed them brought up to the barn. And actually, they were 4x4s, but two things he failed to remind me of. I'd seen them stacked there before, but I didn't think that much of them. One is they were 16 feet long, and two, they were oak. Oh. And when I was 11, 12 years old, if I stood sideways, I would have disappeared. I was a skinny little tiny kid, and I knew that they had to get moved up. My brother went to pick up one and said, heck with this, and dropped it and says, I'll take my punishment. And but I knew we had to do it, and I started one at a time systematically grabbing these things and dragging them. Probably, I don't think I had to drag them any farther than 50 yards, but dragging them 50 yards and dropping them, dragging them and dropping them, dragging. And you know, that hurt. I didn't like doing it. It really, for lack of a better term, it sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, really. But you know, it's those kind of things that build that endurance. That build that endurance for you to be able to do things later in life. And to know that, you know what? Are you there? Yeah. Kelly, I'm on the air.
Oh, great. Well, I will talk to you later.
Yeah, just listen to WWGH, you'll hear me.
What is that number again?
107.1 FM.
All right, thank you.
Had a caller call in on my phone. Anyway, so but the point is that you build an endurance to doing things, and whether it's something as simple as that as a child being told there's things you have to be done by the time I get home, whether it's mowing the grass or taking out the trash or I better have this house vacuumed or whatever the case may be, that builds those strength and does give us endurance. And just like those kids in that classroom, they didn't mind being barefooted. That's just who they were.
Yeah.
No one else had shoes either. They were all in the same boat together. And I'll be honest with you, when I was in school, I don't remember until I was in high school ever being in a school that had air conditioning. Maybe junior high school. I know at elementary school, we had those great big windows that were about 10 feet wide by 30 feet high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those things would, and you know, they even lifted those windows for air to come in. Man, we could have dove right out them things or fell out. Well, they wouldn't allow that today, would they?
No.
But the truth is, you know, you dealt with what you had. And everybody's in the same boat together. And we've become a people of needing creature comforts all the time. And I'm not sure how good it's been for us, to be honest with you. The amount of hours that we waste doing mindless things. And I'm as guilty as anyone. I'll just ask you, and I have no idea. Nate and I just met today, right?
Right, yep.
Do you spend too much time in front of the television?
Actually, I don't have a TV, so not a problem. But if I don't watch myself, I can spend too much time watching movies. You know, sticking one in and just watching them, you know, one right after the other, binge watching. Mm-hmm. Or getting on my phone and getting on YouTube. Boy, I can get sucked into that watching.
YouTube can suck you in.
Oh, boy, can it ever.
And funny stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that requires no brains whatsoever.
Exactly. It can just keep, and it's just hour by hour by hour.
It's interesting.
Know. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm getting somewhere with all this. And I think points I want to make tonight. The first point being that I think that we need to sometimes welcome adversity and turn to God with it.
Yeah.
And say, God, you know, what have you got in this for me? What where are we going with this? And the second thing is, I think that we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid of hardship. We can't be afraid of, maybe it's better for us not to have as much. Maybe it's better for us to start cooking a few more meals than buying. Maybe it's better for us to, you know, hit that Salvation Army instead of the mall. And when I say it, people say, oh, come on, you know, everyone else gets to do that stuff. No, they don't. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I have been in, you know, where we're at, Polaris Mall is huge, right?
Right.
And I've been to Polaris Mall twice in my life, in the mall part. One time, first time, I don't remember why. I didn't buy anything. But the second time, I do remember, I was doing a wedding at a restaurant there. And I have no desire to go to those places. Why in the world do I want to go pay $30 for a pair of... Wait a minute. I didn't say that. $130 for a pair of pants that I could pay $3 for the same pair of pants if I went into a Goodwill or a Salvation Army or a second-time-around store. And I know I sound cheap, but you know what? No one notices what you wear anyway 90% of the time. And people say, you know, oh, I don't want to wear that 2 weeks in a row. So half the time, unless you wear the same thing every week or every day, nobody notices. They just don't, especially in this busy world we have. We get caught up in so many things that drain our wallet, they drain our mind, they drain our time. And I think that going back to some simplicity, I've talked about that many times on this show, is really great. Another thing is that, you know, Nate, do you have a worry list? I mean, you don't probably have one written down, but if I were to tell you right now to write down 10 things that worry you, that are on your mind, could you probably write down 10 things?
I probably could. Yeah,
probably could.
I probably could.
Okay, so what if I told you to turn that into your prayer list?
Yeah, now there's an idea.
You see the difference?
There's an idea, absolutely.
One way, you're consumed with worry. The other way, you're excited to see how God's going to answer that prayer, those prayers, and what He's going to bring you through, the trials, the things, what you're going to learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, like you, I don't think that I've ever gone through many trying things that I haven't learned something from. Hopefully we don't just learn it, but we learn it and apply it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't do that. You know, they learn that the oven's hot, but for some reason they keep going back and touching a hot burner again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that. But there is a way out and up. And sometimes we do have to get to the bottom before we can reach up. You know, if you're out there tonight and you're discouraged, you're hurting, I don't know why you don't seek help. whether you think there is no help. I think one of the biggest problems that we see today, and we've seen this since back in, was it 64 they took prayer out of the schools, I think?
Yeah, I believe it was.
In 1964. You know, up until that time, even if a child wasn't, you know, a believer in Jesus Christ, even if their family weren't, they were exposed to prayer. There never was a forced prayer. You know, and that's an old myth. No one was ever forced to pray. But most people in the United States at that time, and always had, would define themselves as Christian. So for people to pray in school was completely normal. But they were introduced to God and to hope. And they knew that you prayed to God because he was our hope. That's why we prayed for the things we did. Well, now, you know, I see so many people that they don't have that hope. They don't have a God. They don't know. As a matter of fact, most of them have been taught there is no God. And it's really a pretty sad thing. Young people, even if they're brought up many times with one foot in the church and with a little bit of teaching of those things, by the time they go to college today and come home, you know, they think, if you even think that way, that you're just an old fuddy, kooky, you know, and it's sad. It is so sad, because I know that God is real.
Yeah.
And God is real. And we live in a world that, if we will just stop for a minute and look around and let our mind think and open our mind to truth, to what is true, not what have I heard, not what have I seen, what I've been told at school, but look around, you could not do that and not know that there's an awesome creator out there. It's kind of interesting. I was sitting with my grandson the other day, and about a week ago, we were doing we do this thing called Creation Cleanup in Prospect, where we go around and clean up the alleys and plant flowers and mulch the beds at the memorial there at the cemetery for the veterans and at the cow entrance, some things of that nature. And anyway, like a bonehead, I ran out of gas. I don't do that often, but I was driving around with a truck full of mulch and not paying attention, and all of a sudden it was like, oh no, the truck's chugging. And I was in front of the memorial at the cemetery, and I was sitting there with my grandson. These kids are getting old on me. You know, he's going to graduate in 2 years. But anyway, we're sitting there, and I said, you know, look out around you. I said, look at the billions and billions of different plants, animals, organisms, everything around you. It's everywhere, from a microscopic level all the way up to things you can see and touch and around you. I said, do you realize, for evolution to be true, every one of those things would have had to evolve from nothing? And I said, the odds of that happening with one is so astronomical that we can't even write the odds down. How in the world did it happen to billions that all interact together? Come on, guys, let's use some sense. One of my couple of my favorites that I love is just to the top of my head, and there's billions of them. One of them is, there's a bird, and I don't know the name of it, but I've watched it on the National Geographic shows. And I love this little bird. He comes flying in, I mean, like a F-16, flying to the water. He sees minnows at the top of the water, or just under, maybe a foot underwater. And he hits that water, and when he hits the water, he drops down these lenses over his eyes. He doesn't shut his eyes. He has two sets of lenses. One would be like you and I, and underneath is a set of goggles. And he drops his goggles so he can see underwater. And he doesn't have webbed feet. But he grabs his foot, and then his momentum brings him right back up out of the water, and he takes off flying. His little goggles flip up, and he can see normal again. And I'm thinking to myself, now how did that evolve? How many times did he drown before that? You know, it's so silly to even think that way. Another one that's amazing, we were studying in health class last week, we were studying reproduction. And watching the process of the sperm and the egg and all that. I'm thinking to myself, now, wait a minute. how did life move on when you had this whole process had to evolve that's just off the charts? From a microscope, it can't happen. It can't even happen once, let alone billions of times. And I'm sorry, if you believe in that, that's great. But I'm just telling you, please, please, open your mind and go back to studying again. Excuse me. Another interesting thing is that, you know, the theory, Darwin's theory of evolution was adopted into our school system before anybody had any clue of genetics and how they work. It's for, to the extent that microscopic genetics like they do today, like with our DNA and all that. They didn't know anything about that. Well, once they've now come up with know all this stuff, now they're really scratching their heads because it doesn't fit an evolutionary model at all. At all. But we continue to teach it. And we teach it because we don't want to believe in God. So there has to be an alternative to God. And this is all we got. But unfortunately, it's being taught fact to our young people. And being they're being taught there is no God. Well, the problem is with that, when you remove God, you remove hope. What are you going to put in hope in without God? There's nothing to put hope in. People will ultimately fail you. I mean, not everyone will. You may have a wonderful marriage, it'll last forever. But my point is, people as a nature fail each other. You can be madly in love one day, and what happened 2 years later? Your job can fail. The economy can fail. Your town can fail. Natural disasters hit. The only thing that never fails is the presence of God. And he doesn't change. See, we used to have that hope in our young people. And they'd hit on rough times, but they put the... Remember the old saying, pick myself up by my bootstraps?
Yeah.
You know, I think of that, half of that was intestinal fortitude, or a third of it, and two-thirds of it was, hey, I still know there's hope. We've got a God. I can get through this. And today, with our young people, we don't see that hope. And because they don't know about God. They've not been taught about God. Matter of fact, what they have been taught about God is usually that it's mythical. And the sad thing about that is when they lose hope, they lose hope. There's nothing to hope, and they get depressed. You know, maybe they have a career path in athletics in their mind. Maybe they have a career path in engineering, whatever it may be. And they pour all their hope into that. When that hope fails, they don't know where to go or what to do. Maybe they have a girl or a boy they've fallen completely in love with. And, you know, they're just that first love that's just insane. You can't do without them. And all of a sudden that fails and they have no hope. Do you know one thing we used to never talk about until the 1970s? You ready for this? It was not a statistic. The teen suicide rate. There was not a statistic for it because it didn't happen. It was so rare that there was no point in doing a statistic on it. Now, it's unbelievable. I mean, in Marion County alone, I don't want to get into things specific or private on here right now, but it is unbelievable the amount of people under the age of 25 in this county, in every county around us, in every county of the United States, that have taken their own life in the last few years. And why is that? Why would they do that? Young people that have not even, I mean, for crying out loud, I had a business that failed when I was 40 years old. And I said to myself, well, I wasn't quite 40, but anyway, around there, I said to myself, well, shake it off, buddy. You're still a young man. Start over. We're talking about kids in their early 20s that are throwing their hands up in the air and saying, what's the point? There's no hope. Wow. That blows me away. What have we done by taking God away from our children? Let me ask another question. What have we gained by taking God away from our children? Show me anything that we have gained. There were no gains. There's only negatives. Now, you may make yourself feel good because you don't want to believe in God and you hate God and reject God. So every person that you can get to do the same makes you feel great. And maybe you feel good about it, but what have you done for them? You know, we have the most hopeless generation leaving schools right now. It's unbelievable. And we have some great teachers. We have great parents. We've still got some great students. But we're losing a whole bunch of them. I was watching a show today It was a reality show that was made up of different singing groups. I don't remember what it was on. I think it was a cable show. It was something we were watching on in school. And it was these singing groups, and there was this group of teenagers. They were all high school kids. It was a acapella group that they had started, and they were just amazing. They were really good. And the girl that was leading it was the song they were going to do. They did, in memory of the girl that started this very successful program, that a few years after she got out of high school killed herself. I'm like, what in the world? You know, you've done this successful thing in high school, and now nothing. I mean, a lot of kids are successes in high school, and they get out, and things aren't the same. And they turn to drugs. They turn to every other thing in the world. Things aren't what they were supposed to be. Maybe they've been held up and propped up by people all along. All of a sudden, the prop's pulled. It breaks my heart to see several kids that I knew a year ago or 2 years ago I know left high school and planned on doing different things in college and going to school and different things. And I see so many of them now that have just walked away from, and they're living with a boyfriend or a girlfriend and not working. And it's just like, why? Because they lose that hope when there's nothing to hope, no hope to grab. You know, God designed each one of us individually and so very specially. And if we would just understand that and say, okay, God, I don't know much about you, and I don't know much about how you designed me, but I believe that you did, and I want to seek you, and I want to know you, and I want you to reveal that to me. What do you want me to do? And people say, well, how's he going to tell me? Well, he's going to tell you by you surrendering your life to him, and then the direction you go will be the way he wants you to go. You understand? It's that daily thing when we say, okay, God, you know, I know what you did for me. I know you sent your son for me. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you covered that world of sin, and I don't have to pay for it because you did. And isn't that cool? I don't find the judgment in that. People say Christians are so judgmental. I don't see any judgment in that. Matter of fact, when Christ came, he didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. And yeah, does God have rules? You better believe he does, but so does society. And they're not my rules. You know, a lot of times when I say something from a pulpit, I believe the Bible, and I believe the whole Bible, that it was preliminary verbally inspired by God, and it's his word. And if I repeat what's in there, I'm repeating it for your betterment, not so I can hit you over the head with a hammer. And a lot of times people say, well, that pastor had no reason to judge me. Like, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you what the good book says. If it applies, it applies. And I think a lot of people don't want the application. It's real interesting. If you follow the values that are in the Bible, first of all, there's some things that happen. They lead you to love. They lead you to compassion. They lead you to putting others first. There's some things that don't happen. We don't get STDs. We don't steal. We don't think too highly of ourselves. Marriages will work. Because the Bible tells you to put the other person first above all things. Other than God. Well, if I marry someone that's putting me first above everything, why would I leave them? And if I want to put them first above me, I can't really leave them, because my job is to put them first. It's a covenant commitment, not feelings. We've been taught that love is feelings today. Love's not feelings. You know, to do what you want to do, what good does that do anyone? I've been yakking for a few minutes. You got any thoughts?
No, what you're saying about you know, marriages and you know, you got to keep God first in your marriage, and it will work. My wife and I will be married 10 years next year.
Good for
as,
you.
As a matter of fact, and you know, and if we didn't have God first in our marriage, I'll tell you, there's some rough times, and but keeping Him first. You know, you can stay on the winning track for sure.
Absolutely. And it's it doesn't leave room for anything. It doesn't leave room for adultery. It doesn't leave room for abuse. You know, I know Christians are being so accused, especially at the university level today, of being racist and bigots and this word they use called what is it? Anyway, it means looking down on women. I can't think, but they're using it all the time. But anyway, thinking you're superior to women. You know, the Bible doesn't teach any of us that we're superior to anyone. It does put things in order.
Right.
As God intends an order. And if we don't want to follow God's order, that's up to us. I think we're making a mistake personally. One thing in our family, you know, my wife and I, we make decisions together. I really prefer she be on board with something I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm in trouble if she's yeah. not. You know what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is, if you love someone, that's the way that's going to be. But I also understand in God's design of all of us that the buck stops with me. You know, with a man in the home that takes that role of leadership within the home, that's a role that the Bible requires us to love our wives better than we love ourselves and to always put them first.
Yeah.
So why would she not like that? And if I do that, you know, I carry a lot of responsibility as to what happens with the family. I don't want my wife to have to feel guilty because we went broke. I'll put that on my back. I don't want my wife to feel bad because I made a wrong decision. I'll put that on my back. But that's the difference in what we see today. We've been so lied to. So these young people especially, you know, when I talk to young people, and I work with young people a lot, I'm doing a little less now because I'm getting a little older. Maybe it's time for some younger guys to step in and women to do that. And I love young people, and I want to continue to work with them, but I think they're thinking I'm getting old. I'm not sure. But, you know, one huge thing they all think that when you say, well, what do you think life was like back in the 60s and 70s and 50s with husbands and wives? Well, women were abused and men sat around and they call them wife beater t-shirts and scratched their belly and drank beer and watched TV. And that's the picture they've been given of that era. And women were slaves, always, you know, in their work clothes at home and 20 babies and, you know, the whole bit. I grew up in that era and I don't remember that. I didn't see that. I'm sure that anywhere you go, there's things that aren't right. But I remember a mother that, until my dad was killed in 1971 in an auto accident, my mother never worked outside of the home at all. She worked hard, but never outside of the home. And she had her hobbies and things she did. But it was real interesting. My mother had all these friends that they would meet for coffee in the morning, and they'd have studies together, and they did she had wonderful friends. She had a wonderful life. And most women were that way. But they're not viewed as back then. And they're viewed as, you know, those women weren't challenging themselves. Let me tell you something. Running a family and raising children and giving them the knowledge they need and helping them to properly develop that personality and know how to be loved and nurtured, if you never leave the home one day to work outside of it, you probably far exceeded most people that go out and put in an 8-hour day somewhere. Because the fact of the matter is that to do it properly, it's a full-time job. And hey, if a lot of women, even when I grew up, a lot of women tried to do both. And it's really hard then because of that balance. But we lost the home and the family a lot when everyone started sending their kids off to sitters and daycares and we lost that family connection and that closeness of the family. And now I talk to so many people that their kids are scattered all over the country. They don't have that desire to be home, close to mom and dad, close to a family. Family unit's huge. If you want to save America, rebuild the family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to do that. We got to start spending more time with our kids. You know, sit down and give them that one-on-one time. What's that one commercial they do about, you know, paying for this and blah, 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 but three innings at the with your kid at the ballpark is priceless, that kind of a thing. It is priceless. And having your kids in church, why people don't see the need for that blows me away. And so many people I talk to say, you know, Pastor, we really need to get our family in church. Well, if you really think so, how about you really do it?
You're open every Sunday.
Open every Sunday. And people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Of course it is. The whole world's full of hypocrites. I mean, well, what do you expect to find at church? Aliens? People are going to be that way. You know, the church is a hospital. It's not a shrine. I mean, people go there to get well. And other people go there to be doctors and nurses and teach them and help them and help them to grow. We're all in this thing together. And that's what's so beautiful about the church when it operates properly. You know, everybody is there to help each other draw closer to God and to grow in Him and to understand who He desires us to be and go out and share that good news with other people that are hurting. What's wrong with that picture? But see, when the church stops doing that, when the church stops doing that and just becomes a place that we go to hear a few good words, throw some money in a plate and feel like we covered our bases and go home, the church got lost in the mess somewhere. You know, what the true church was supposed to be. That's just, I don't know what that is. I don't know. Maybe that's a social club. Maybe it's I don't know. But it's not the church. You know, the church is an active, living organism. You know, our church, there's someone in and out of our church every day of the week. And I'm not just talking about a secretary at the front desk. We've got something going on, and we need to have something going on. And if there's nothing going on, we'll fill it up. We'll find a place to do it because it's supposed to be an active place. It's a hub that we work from. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, miss that, that they really do. But what I'm getting at in all this as I'm winding down to about 5 minutes already, I don't know how this happens, is that, you know, you're waking up out there today, this morning, or you're listening to this show or whatever, and you feel hopeless. Maybe you're getting ready to be evicted. Maybe life just really stinks. Maybe you and your spouse or your special one is not, aren't, you're not getting along that well, or your kids are going south on you. You don't have to be hopeless. God says to come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Simple as that. Do we believe that or not? Well, I tried that. No, you didn't try it. You know, when you really try it, when you really give it to God, God doesn't lie. And He doesn't go back on His word. So if you really gave your life to the Lord and you put forth the effort to stay there, see, He's not going to let go of you. You might be letting go of Him, but He ain't letting go of you. And I think through circumstances and different things, sometimes it's just easier. You know, one thing I've watched with families is they'll miss a Sunday because something came up. And that's okay. It happens. And then maybe they'll be there next Sunday. And then it's easy, they'll miss again. Next thing you know, they miss 2 weeks. And then it's 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, other things get in the way. Travel ball. That's the big one today. Everybody's kid is going to be the next whatever, and they go to travel ball. Let me tell you something. The best thing that you can instill in your children is a love for God because they'll carry it with them throughout eternity. And life's going to be tough. You know, what happens when you're 25 years old and all of a sudden you find out, you know, you're married, but all of a sudden you find out you're pregnant and your husband walked out the door and, oh, and you lost your job the day before. Oh, and by the way, you just found out you might have celiac disease or whatever. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about this stuff, but I sure can throw a good fastball. Who's that helping? How about, wow, I'm totally overwhelmed, but I'm glad I have Christ in my life and I can bring this to Him and He can lift me up and He can hug me and He can love me and He can show me that we're going to get through this together and tomorrow's a better day. Now you tell me which one we should be training, helping train our children towards. Parents, you got to wake up out there. In the words of old Earl Pitts, wake up, America! But, you know, it's true. You know, wake up. This is common sense stuff. You know, none of that stuff. It's great to have It's great to be athletic. It's great to have team sports. I did it growing up. But to live and breathe it and replace church with it, you know, I know of this verse in the Bible that says, in essence, any of you that would offend one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone be hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Parents out there, you need to be careful that you're not offending your little ones. You need to be careful that you're not taking them away from the Lord. You know, Jesus said to suffer the little children, come unto me, because such as theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't keep your children from Jesus. They need to be there. That's where the hope's going to be. You know, parents might, well, my kids are in sixth grade. They don't believe in God. They've learned. Get them down to the Creation Museum. Take a walk through there and see what truth really looks like. You know, there's your little short trip for a day. And get them in Sunday school. You know, we have programs in Sunday school where we have all the stuff available for kids to look at and references and all kinds of neat things. But you got to get them there, right?
Right.
Yeah, you truly do. You can't stay at home and go, well, I wish I'd done that, because they're going to grow up so fast before your eyes it's going to be over with. Hey, it's been great being on today with you, Nate. Good to meet you, buddy.
Yes, you too. Been good to sit across from you, listen to you, try to catch you every week and enjoy your programs.
Well, thank you. I think there's a lot of people that I hope do. I've heard from several. But, you know, being on the radio is kind of odd. You just don't hear that much, and you don't see it. You're not on TV.
Yeah.
It's not like it's in print.
exactly.
But it is on the archives, and I want to share that.
Yes.
You can go to wwghradio.com, am I right?
wwgh1071.com.
And all the archives were there for the pastor spot and your show, your trivial show, and all these shows are on there. You can just pull anyone up and listen to it anytime you like. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. How much time we got left, Nate?
We're down to just about 30 seconds.
30
already.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to end this show with a prayer. Can we do that?
We can do it.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I pray for each and every one out there in the listening world that you lay it on their heart to desire you and to seek you. And Lord, if anyone, let us be more than willing to sit down and reach and love anyone that desires to come to us and that wants to know you. Lord, let us be more of a loving people and show your grace. In your name, amen. Our number is 740-494-2222. God bless you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray.